Now let's meet the candidates in Senate District P. There is no incumbent in this race. We're starting with the Democrat, Janet Reiser.
Hi. Thanks to KAKM for hosting this forum, and thanks to all of you tuning in at home. My name is Janet Reiser, and I'm running for State Senate in District P, which includes the Anchorage Hillside, Turnagain Arm, and the Eagle River Valley. I'm a chemical engineer, former business executive, and entrepreneur. I am also the vice chair of the Chugach Electric Association Board of Directors. And I'm running because I believe that we need to bring pragmatic private sector business expertise to Juneau. And because our district needs someone who is focused on the bottom line and not the party line. I have the proven skills, experience, and temperament to work with all parties to fill the pipeline, create private sector jobs, stop the brain drain, and control state spending. I have pledged that I will work with all sides. My opponents have not. I will make sure that we are at the table and our voices are loud and clear. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now let's meet the Republican, Kathy Giesel.
Hi. My name's Kathy Giesel. I'm running for the State Senate in District P, and I want to take just a moment to say, hi, Kelly and Lila, in case my granddaughters are still up watching. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, born and raised in Fairbanks. My mother still lives in our family home in Fairbanks, though my father has passed away. My husband and I have lived in District P for more than 30 years. He built our home there, and we raised our three children there. Two of our sons have stayed in Alaska, and we now have three grandchildren living in Eagle River. I'm running for this seat because I care deeply about Alaska's future. I was born in the territory of Alaska. I've watched our state move from a very small economy to a vibrant economy, and I want to make sure that that continues. Our future is at stake. These are some important, serious decisions before us, and I have the passion to take them on.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now let's meet the independent candidate, Philip Dubinsky.
Thank you. I'm Phil Dubinsky. Some of you may recognize me from the highway, or maybe you remember me when I came to your homes to introduce myself the past few months. I'm running as an independent because, like many of you, I too have become disillusioned by the actions of Republicans and Democrats in our state legislature. I've worked in the oil industry for three decades, first as an engineer and then as a manager responsible for large business functions throughout the world. I see Alaska at a crossroads, faced with many crucial decisions that will define the shape of our economy in the years to come. We cannot continue spending and run out of money like California, nor allow taps to shut down and Alaska to become like Maine. I would bring my real-world business experience and my fiscally conservative values to the state Senate at a time when we must become fiscally responsible and frugal. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to candidate questions, and we'll start with Kathy Giesel. Question for one of your opponents.
Oh, all right. Well, Ms. Reiser, the people who support a candidate say a lot about who the candidate is. Could you tell us how much money union leaders and organizations have contributed to your campaign?
I'd be happy to, and I'm very proud of that support. I'm proud of support that I've gotten and endorsements that I've gotten from a number of organizations. I have over 500 individual campaign contributions, and from unions or organizations that are, well, actually, they're political action committees. They're actually people that have banded together for a common purpose, and I've gotten about $22,000 from those people, and I have, I enjoy the support of the Teachers Association. I enjoy the support of firefighters and policemen. I also enjoy, surprisingly enough, the support of the nurses. The Nurses Association, Kathy, your own professional association, have endorsed me. I've also received the maximum contribution from the BP PAC. So I have enjoyed a lot of support from a variety of places.
You have an opportunity for rebuttal, please.
Well, thank you. In fact, that's true. I actually added up your APOC contributions as $24,000 from 18 union PACs. And then there's the independent expenditures that the National Education Association is making that amount to about $60,000. Now, that's pretty impressive. And groups like this generally expect payback. And it looks like you've kind of been bought and paid for by these unions, and that's concerning. It should be concerning to the people of District P because that will affect their representation. But you know, I have a lot of faith in the voters. This is Alaska, not Chicago, where elections can be bought and paid for. So I know that this means a lot to Alaskans, to people in our district.
Okay, thank you very much. Now we'll turn to Mr. Dubinsky. You have an opportunity to ask a question.
Certainly. This question is for Kathy Geisel. Many candidates have made statements about filling TAPS, which is now operating at 30% capacity. I believe realistically it will take years for business confidence to be restored, for investment to return, even if we fix ACEs in the next legislative session. Having worked in the oil industry for 3 decades, I believe it will take at least 5 to 10 years before we see new oil entering TAPS, most likely federal oil, if TAPS is still operating at that time. You've indicated at a recent contractor forum that you think that we can fill the pipeline faster. So, you know, how do you think that can be done?
Well, thanks for that question. I'm very concerned about our petroleum resources. It is the main source of revenue for our state. And you know, I look at Alberta's experience. In 2007, they passed a very escalated petroleum tax. Their petroleum production went away pretty rapidly. This last year, they did a reassessment of that tax and adjusted it, and they're already seeing the return of investment and increased production. I believe that will happen on Alaska's North Slope as well. In addition, there are other opportunities for filling that pipeline. Gas to liquids conversion. Coal to liquid fuels is another great opportunity that we have. So there are many ways that we can continue to keep the TAPS line flowing.
Mr. Dubinsky, a rebuttal or final thought or both?
Certainly. I think that many of the candidates have been overly optimistic with their expectations of how quickly we can refill the oil pipeline. In spite of the Alberta experience on the North Slope, all the wells are operating at full capacity. So in order to start filling the pipeline, we first need to find new oil. And we haven't found the next Prudhoe Bay. And even if we find the next Prudhoe Bay tomorrow morning, it will be several years before we can design the new facilities, permit the new facilities, and start building those new facilities. So at best, we're faced with, a very uncertain future. And we really do need to bridge our entire future with conservative fiscal management.
Janet Reiser, it's your an opportunity to ask a question of one of your opponents.
I will ask Ms. Geisel a question. Kathy, I am supported by our friends and neighbors, and I'm supported by the people that work for you every single day, whether they be oil in the oil field, or whether they be in your own profession, or whether they be the people that are driving your children to school. And you've said that you will not work in a bipartisan working group. You've actually said that you would like to see the state Senate return to Republican control. So it gets me thinking along those same lines, how do then you expect to represent the people of our district when you would only represent just a small fraction of those people?
You know, as I've gone door to door in our district, I've knocked on more than 8,000 doors. And the prevailing concern of all of our district residents, including myself, are jobs and the economy. Those kinds of issues cross all party lines. It is clear that the Republican Party has made some missteps in the past, but are realizing that, and like they did in Alberta, is ready to readjust the ACES tax structure and ready to move forward with development. I anticipate that there will be many Democrat legislators who are also interested in doing this, and I've worked with people from all backgrounds on many boards and commissions across our state in the past.
Thank you very much, Janet Reiser.
Yes, I know you've worked on many boards as a appointed party person. You have said that jobs cut across all party lines, and they do, and that is why I have pledged to only work in a bipartisan working group, which will likely be in place in the Senate. What concerns me is that if you should win, that you would be then in the minority, and we'd be faced with the same situation that we're faced with now, which is incomplete representation on the Hillside. We deserve better than that. Our state is a small state, Our people on the Hillside and in Turnagain Arm and Eagle River Valley need to be at the table and their voices need to be heard. And I don't think you can or will do that.
Thank you. Now let's turn to the host questions, and I'll start with Mr. Dubinsky. The question is, what can be done about soaring energy prices in Alaska, and particularly in South Central Alaska with natural gas?
Well, I think we have a number of opportunities. There are alternative energies available to us. There are renewable energies available to us. We can work on the further development of Cook Inlet gas, as well as bringing gas south from the North Slope to South Central Alaska. But I think at the end of the day, we have to allow the free market to define whether or not these options are actually sustainable for us.
Okay, Janet Reiser.
I agree with Mr. Dubinsky. We are doing a lot of things, I think, to enhance our profile in Cook Inlet, certainly looking at putting in storage so that we can even out the peaks for winter and summer and keep the gas pressure up and deliverability where we need it to be. Again, it's all going to depend on free market. It's certainly going to depend on what makes sense for Alaskans in the long run. We've got a lot of options out there. I'm excited about them. I'm excited as an engineer about them because they're technically exciting, but they're also an interesting puzzle the kind of puzzle I enjoy putting together and working on, and I think we can go forward well with some of those ideas.
Kathy Giesel.
There are so many great options in our state. We have so many resources that can be developed. I want to see the private sector develop them. They know best how to have a good bottom line. They know how to determine whether different projects will pencil out. It may come to the fact that we may have to import some natural gas come the year 2013. But in the meantime, I'm very encouraged that NSTAR is putting in some storage facilities for natural gas. We're looking at hydropower. Certainly looks like it would be less expensive than an in-state gas line, but I think that these are the kinds of things that the private sector is best equipped to evaluate, and I look forward to opening the doors for all private sector development.
Thank you very much. Now we'll start with Janet Reiser for this round of questionings. Is ACEs, the Palin tax regimen on the oil industry, working or does it need revision?
It needs revision. Again, it's a results. I look at it from a results-based perspective. It is not getting the results we want. We need to have not only a stable tax structure, but an inviting tax structure. You know, everybody's talking about being open for business, and I share that passionately. We need to absolutely revisit that. And like any good business executive, you always revisit your plan to make sure you're getting the most benefit out of it. So yes, it needs to be restructured.
Okay, Kathy Giesel?
I absolutely would support revisiting the petroleum tax that we have, otherwise called ACEs. And in fact, there are a number of legislators that are interested in doing that. Governor Parnell talked about it last week. We've seen that higher taxes suppress development, and this is a basic fundamental economic principle. We've seen it lived out. We need to readjust that. I'd like to see the progressivity reduced. I'd like to see the tax actually bracketed versus an incremental increase that is currently set up. But, you know, overall, we need to look at our corporate taxes as well. We have the fifth highest corporate tax of all the states, and this is suppressing our private sector development.
Phil Dubinsky.
I find it interesting that on this program there have been many candidates, incumbents who have, both Republican and Democrats, who have come on the program and expressed, quite frankly, support for ACEs and say it's working fine. You know, if we'd listened to Hollis French, ACEs is working fine. And until a few days ago, Sean Parnell had actually said ACEs is working fine too. And the reality is it's not. It's driving investment. It's driving investment out of the state, and it's driving jobs out of the state. And we do need to reform it. I think that our legislature has forgotten, quite frankly, the lesson that we learned from Ronald Reagan, that excessive taxation does not spur economic growth, and we can be the case study for that. Thank you.
Okay, well, let's stick with you. One thing, if it taxes excessive or is it puts money in the state treasury. If you guys are going to change ACEs, you're going to have to give up a number of millions of dollars. Mr. Dubinsky, what are you going to do about that? You're just going to have to accept less money.
less money is good. And, you know, we have a state legislature that seemingly is addicted to oil revenue, and we need and compulsive spenders, and that's a terrible combination. And one way to stop that addiction is to take the money out of their hands. At the same time, we need to impose conservative fiscal management on the state government. We need to reimpose measures and missions that used to be in place and implemented. We need to bring that back on steroids to take a look at how the state government is spending the money and what value we're receiving from the spend.
Janet Reiser.
Well, I think that yes, we do need to take a close look at our spending, and we need to really tighten, and we need to look at programs that don't work and get rid of them. We also need to tie our operating budget to our capital budget. And like I've said before, one of the very first things that I would do would be to take the any capital budget that we have and associate the operating budget for the operations and maintenance of any project or any building that we have so that we know the true cost of each of these things that we are authorizing. But I think, you know, we can only cut and cut and cut so far. We really need to be focused on growth. And I think that changing the tax structure will actually spur investment and will actually lead us eventually. It's not going to happen overnight, of course, but will actually lead to more oil exploration and gas production.
Thank you. Kathy Giesel, you'll have the last word on this particular topic.
Thank you, Michael. The operating budget is driven by two things, our education spending and our healthcare spending. We certainly need to look at education spending and what we're getting for our dollars. We need to look at what federal regulations are being imposed on our education system that are not producing a positive result. Healthcare is going up constantly, and we will see it increase yet more as Obamacare is implemented. The National Healthcare Plan is going to raise the cost of healthcare for every state. But Michael, you made the comment that by reducing taxes, that we would see revenue decrease. And actually, there's a fundamental economic principle that when government reduces taxes, it actually encourages the private sector, and taxes or state revenue, increases because of the lower taxes.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to our closing statements, and we'll start with Mr. Dubinsky.
Thank you. I hope to see some of you in the next few days on the highway and at your homes as I still come by to introduce myself. Many of you, like me, are faced with a difficult decision when we go to vote because generally we only get two choices, Republican or Democrat, and we're not generally satisfied with either. I chose to run as an independent to provide you with another choice, as a fiscal conservative, accountable to you and not a political party. I would encourage you to read the Republican and Democratic Party platforms for Alaska, and in them you will not find any mention of the word conservative, nor will you find any mention about reducing state spending, no mention of reducing the size of state government. That describes what they're not about. I'm Phil Dubinsky, independent candidate for state senate, asking for your vote on November 2nd. And I can assure you, I am not more of the same. That's District P, P for Phil. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dubinsky. Now let's turn to Kathy Giesel for your closing statement, please.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate being able to be on this program. I'm Kathy Giesel. I'm the Republican candidate for the state senate, District P. I've met so many of you at your doors, listened to you over the past 10 to 11 months as I've visited you in your homes and also in community meetings. I know that you're concerned about jobs and the economy, and so am I. I'm very concerned that my Democrat opponent is receiving outlandish amounts of money from the unions in this state that have a specific agenda that they want executed in the state Senate. I'm concerned that you won't receive the balanced, logical, reasonable, and responsible representation that you should have in the state Senate. I'm Kathy Giesel. I ask for your vote on November 2nd.
Thank you very much. And Janet Reiser will have the last word in this particular race. You have 1 minute, please.
Okay. Thank you all of you at home who stayed up late to watch I think we're the very last people, but thank you for staying with us. You know, when I was a young engineer, I was working on a startup of a product that I had helped develop. And I used to pass a sign on my way to work every day. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, and bleary-eyed, I'd always see the sign that said, there is no greater burden than a good opportunity. And I believe that that's where Alaska is right now. Alaska has great opportunities in front of us, but we have the burden to put the right people in place with the right set of skills to take advantage of those opportunities. It is not time for on-the-job training. If you want energy to be solved, and because that is the overarching problem of our day, then send people who understand energy, not that just spout out the one-liners that they've heard and practiced over and over again. It will not be easy to fill the pipeline, and it will take a while, but we must work hard to make that happen. We have opportunities for private sector job growth and responsibility and to develop our resources responsibly. And we're not going to get there with Tea Party politics. We need to take a hard look at state spending, live within our means, and plan for the future, a future of great opportunity and challenge and hard work. I'm ready to bring my skills and experience working across a broad section of people to solve problems as your state senator. And I ask you for your vote on November 2nd. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Janet Reiser.